Woo, let me tell you about Southern Holler. Deep-rooted conversation on civics and business, it offers an insightful exploration of local politics, community dynamics, and business partnerships. Each episode unravels a complex interplay between civic affairs and business ventures.
Well, welcome back to our second episode as of now. First one did pretty well. Now, again, it seems like every time I come and do an episode that something redonish happens. And again, I feel like Patrick Swayze trying to get ready, you know.
Cause, Wolverines.
Wolverines. We, of course, had the unfortunate outage a couple of days ago with social media, and I felt for a lot of folks that could not post about what they had for supper and cat photos, dog photos. I felt for them because I know that for a while there, they were very scared. I'm glad we all made it into the studio today, and I'm glad nobody's fallen from the sky trying to take over Georgia.
Yet.
We'll see. The best is yet to come. No. So welcome back again. It was wonderful doing the first episode. You know, we're back doing this again. This is an exciting time. We wanted to kick things off. I had newly elected officials training last week, and I had the opportunity to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different cities. Cities as small as 120 people to as big as 100,000. All across the state of Georgia, you've got a lot of diverse city names. For me personally, I love all of the cities in Toombs County, which is in southeast Georgia, close to Statesboro. They've got three city names that I absolutely love. Of course, we have Vidalia, which is, of course, named after our onion here in Georgia.
Hey, do you know one of the popular events down there?
It's not Vidalia Onion Fest, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you have that, and then you have Rattlesnake Roundup.
Oh, now I didn't know about
Rattlesnake. Now, my best friend Rodney has played in a band several years as part of a big hangout where thousands of snakes are on display.
That is cool.
That's a real story.
I'm going to have to go down there for that because I don't, snakes don't bother me. I'm different story about spiders. I'd burn down a house because of a spider, and I have almost done that.
Hey, make sure you wear them good boots.
Though. It's those good, stomping boots, absolutely. Yeah, oh, you know it. I'm going to have to stomp one if they get too close. But Vidalia is a good city to talk about, but you also got Lyons, Georgia, and my absolute favorite, Santa Claus, Georgia. They keep Christmas decorations up year-round. It is no matter if it is 100 degrees, it's like a winter wonderland down there. So shout out to Toombs County, Santa Claus, Georgia, Vidalia, Georgia, and Lyons, Georgia. What about you, Jeremiah?
Well, I like the city name Between Georgia. That is Walton such County. A Southern Holler, Georgia name. They couldn't decide on what name to call it. So they just kept saying it's like, yeah, that city between. Mm-hmm. Between Monroe, Athens, Atlanta, Athens. It's out there in Spalding County. And right now, as of 2020, they have 296 people.
Very good.
It is,
and I hate
it is booming.
I hate
there.
To tell you, it's Walton County.
What?
It's Walton County, not Spalding County.
Well, Wikipedia told me wrong.
Well,
they would never lie to me.
No, Wikipedia would never lie to somebody. You know.
No.
That's why so many people use it for their college papers.
Hey,
I did not do that though. What? My college papers were always pristine. Not to brag or anything, you know, that C went a long way.
Yeah, do I need to pull a public records request on that?
Go ahead and do it and see how far you get with it, because it ain't going to be too far. But we bring all this up because it's always interesting to hear different perspectives. You know, these cities we talked about are smaller compared to your Atlanta and Savannah and Columbus and even your Athens and even my city of Winder and even Jeremiah's city of Auburn. All of these come back to say that each city has similar problems, but they also have unique issues that are diversified and all equally interesting. I enjoyed talking about that little segment and enjoyed kicking that off.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to try to keep doing that every time we meet, just to think about all of our shout out of Georgia and the South. It doesn't have to be just Georgia, just finding fun names.
Absolutely.
To say, we'll get pretty creative because people are pretty creative about that.
Yep. Well, that concludes it, folks. We had a good time in the studio today.
Whoa. Easy. 1 minute. We got our first guest on.
I don't think we need to talk to our first guest.
Well,
I'm concerned about the quality of our first guest, and I'm concerned about what we're going to talk about. This is a great little teaser, and then we'll get to the main episode later
Right. No, how about let's just do it now.
Okay.
So our first guest on the Southern Holler in the great Empower Studio is my good friend, the judge, Caroline Evans, who's also known as Power's Mama. Mm. And hi, Judge. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jeremiah?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, I've been so excited about this.
You about tripped over his name when you first said that, didn't you?
Well, I usually say it in a song.
A little slur.
I usually have to
hope
sing.
You're not drunk now.
I have to sing his name in order to actually
get a deputy
say
in here
it,
and breathalyze you if you're drunk.
Yeah.
See,
he's already got jokes.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It comes
no
so.
No idea what's about to come out.
So none. Naturally. And by the way,
this
you guys
gonna
look.
Wild. We're going to have one of those parental warnings. Yes. Just to make sure you don't have any kids on the age.
Yeah. Make sure you
15
have
15 or 18 or something.
The edit button over here. So you don't. Owe me a dollar for the name thing. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just charge it to Power's account. So I don't mind that at all.
Yes.
So, Judge, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it. I wish I could sit on the other side of the table and not actually next to Power.
No, this is great.
The vibe I'm getting, it's not good.
No, you guys are close enough to, tap each other on the shoulder.
Yeah.
If you get tired of each other.
Yeah.
Well, whenever she public speaks, she always brings up a quote funny story. And I always have somebody say, oh, that must have been so funny. You sitting back there and you covered your eyes and all that. And I'm thinking, I don't know what's about to come out of this woman's mouth next.
I know probably one of the main purposes for having me here today is to talk about magistrate court and my role as the judge.
Yes.
But what I came here for today is... I have listened to the original podcast, the little teaser, and then I listened to the first episode. And we all know that in real life, Power sounds like a cross between, cornbread and foghorn leghorn. And since he's been on here, he sounds like Rhett Butler. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe I'll come across as... Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, there you
I think
go.
You're going to come across more Patrick as Ellie Mae Clampett.
You think
come
so?
On,
I
no.
think so.
Yeah.
I think you're going to.
Ellie Mae may be okay. She looks good in shorts. So let's do that. I can go with Ellie Mae. I'd be all right with that.
This is so good.
This is already off the rails.
It's already awesome. I'm so happy. Anyway, so.
Sure, it's been 30 minutes yet.
So, Judge, I heard recently that you had signed your name, a document, and say you're running for something again.
Yes. So every 4 years, I have to qualify to run for office. And here we are again. I run with the president. Me and some of the other constitutional officers had to re-qualify to run. And that's what I did on Monday. Had to pay my qualifying fee and sign some documents. And so that I will appear on the May 21st primary ballot and then on the general ballot in November. And so far. It's Wednesday. Nobody has qualified to run against me, and I'm hoping we'll stay that way. But if it doesn't, we'll handle it.
We got to get these corrupt incumbents out of office.
Oh, man.
as he speaks as an incumbent.
Absolutely. And soon to be incumbent,
yes.
Mr. Eagle One over there.
Eagle One.
So how long have you been a judge?
So I started on January 1st, 2017 is when I first went into office, but I actually got into magistrate court in 1994. That's when I started. And then in 1999, I transferred over to probate court. Then in 2016, Judge Davis, who was the magistrate judge at that time, decided to retire. So I thought, this is my time. This is time for me to do this. So I took the bull by the horns. I did have opposition the first time, but we ran and were successful. And so I am about to enter into my third term if I am elected by the fine people of Barrow County.
This is an educational program. How long is your term? So you said it's every 4 years?
4 years.
President?
It's a 4-year term, and we run with the president. I run with the president, along with the other constitutional officers, which is going to be the sheriff, the clerk of superior court, the tax commissioner, the probate judge, and me, and the coroner.
It's something about when you do go and you sign your name on that dotted line, and with somebody that you're very close to, usually when it comes to me and my mom's relationship is I'm usually one half of the Statler-Waldorf duo towards her. And so, but there are times, of course, when she does go and qualify where I'm a little bit proud of where she's come, because she's a very modest person and she doesn't talk about where she's come from. She's had a lot of knowledge, but has had to hold it in for a very long time until she bit the bullet and ran for office. You deal a lot. Your court is the closest to people. When people think of court, they think of Judge Judy, Judge Mathis, Judge Joe Brown, all those great judges we've seen on TV. Tell us a little bit about non-reality TV courtrooms.
Willpower is actually more like a reality TV when you come actually into my court. So
I have been in your court, quite interesting.
It's entertaining sometimes. Just to give you a little background on what magistrate court does, we handle civil and criminal. Civil is $15,000 and less as far as civil suits. You would sue someone in their county of residence, or if you're suing someone as a business, you would sue them in their county that their business is located out of. So we can only handle up to $15,000. There was a bill on the floor this legislative session to up our jurisdictional limit to $50,000, and I don't know right now where that's at as far as passing, but we're kind of hoping it'll stay around $15,000. $50,000 is a lot for a small claims court. But if we have to, that's what we'll do. We'll deal with it. I handle, on the civil side, I also handle evictions. That's probably the biggest part of my job on the civil end. The fancy word is called dispossessories. That's what I always like to remind Power when he wants to talk back to me, that I am the evictions judge, and he still lives in my house.
All those people. So, I tell you.
Yeah.
Corrupt incumbents. Throwing all them people.
He keeps thinking that there are people out of certain laws that that I have to meet in order to throw him out. But in fact, I do not, since I just own that house.
I raised your city bill.
Well, you already have, so thank you for that. Also,
we've had this conversation.
Garnishments. We handle garnishments. We handle personal property foreclosures on the civil end of it. And then on the criminal end, all things start in magistrate court. So when someone commits a crime, they are arrested by a law enforcement officer, they come to us and present probable cause to issue a warrant or not issue a warrant. If we do, then the person's arrested, go to the Bexar County Jail. We then have a certain amount of time that we go to the jail, then we have to set their bond. We have their first appearance and bond hearing. At their first appearance hearing, we actually read them their rights, let them know that they have the right to an attorney, those type things. And then we set a reasonable bond. Sometimes there are things that we can't actually set as magistrate judges. We call them the seven deadlies, things like murder, rape, armed robbery, aggravated child molestation, those type charges that as a magistrate judge, I cannot set that bond. So I would have to transfer it to Superior Court for a bond hearing. So once we set their bond, if they're not able to actually make bond, then we have to give somebody a preliminary hearing. And in a preliminary hearing is when the state actually presents the evidence that they have against the defendant. And it's my job to determine whether or not there's enough evidence or enough probable cause to send their case to either state or Superior Court. We also handle extraditions. That's when someone's wanted in another state and they have to come in front of me for them to have an extradition hearing to determine whether or not they're going to waive their right to be extradited or they're going to fight it. And we also handle search warrants. So anytime someone needs a home, when a law enforcement officer needs a home searched or a car searched or a cell phone searched, that comes through magistrate court most of the time. There are some things that we cannot do in magistrate court, but 99.9% of the time it's magistrate.
That's a busy schedule.
Yes.
Are you the only one that presides?
So I am the chief magistrate, and I'm elected, but I have three appointed associate magistrate judges. We work 24/7 because obviously crime doesn't happen between 9 and 5 every day. So we have on-call judges. So when...
What are you talking about? It doesn't happen 9 to 5?
No, it doesn't happen 9 to 5.
People get crazy at 2 a.m.
I know.
Wait, that hair is always ready to go?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
When
she'll roll out of bed,
24-hour days.
Make
when
up
I'm
ready
call,
hair.
This is the way you see me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely. I'll hear her sometime. I'd wake up or something like that, and I can hear her getting ready because I know there's an officer coming because she just tells them, give me about 10 minutes. We'll get ready to go.
Well, I don't think I sound like that, but what I need you to give me 10 minutes to put on my bra and my contacts. That's what I need. Bra and contacts. That's what I need.
Because well,
everything
that
else
makes
looks
total
just the
sense.
Same. Yep. Everything else is already
it rolls out.
Ready
it
to
just
go.
Rolls out of bed, ready
to
go.
To
it's
go.
Like having the Swiss Army knife or backpack or whatever. She's got
yeah,
it ready,
she's
to go.
Ready to go.
It's like
yeah.
it's right on the bedside
a,
table,
that's right.
ready
I got
to go.
A bag, ready to
It'd
go.
Be amazing. Have you gone to bed yet, Judge? No, I'm fine.
It's fine. Yeah. This is the way I always look at 3 o'clock
so
in the morning.
Look,
I'm still on the market. I can't have people come into my house with me looking like I just got rolled over by a Mack truck.
Well, I didn't know that the Southern Holler would be
a dating site.
Yes. But you know what? Hey, we do have friends in Kansas
and low places.
South Carolina.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Some in low places.
Okay.
That, you know,
you
maybe.
Could, you know what? You
they got to talk like me because I can't understand.
You should try out for that
like
Golden
me.
Bachelor.
Okay. I think I'm just going to talk to Jeremiah at this point because I don't think I qualify for Golden Bachelor.
I think you'd do
first
fine.
First of all,
you know,
I'm a girl, so I would be the Golden Bachelorette.
Oh yeah, the Golden.
Yeah.
But you'd still be one of the strong
UGA education.
Yes.
No.
Keep
but
coming
yes,
in over there.
See, yes.
You can,
God bless him.
You can technically be on the Golden Bachelor as one of the many.
One of the women.
Women that he is searching for. That's what I meant.
I need him to have a plus size Golden Bachelorette. That's what I need him to have.
A plus size.
But I don't feel like they're going to do that. They want these women that come out looking like they're size two, you know? And
hey,
it's just,
there's
that's
a will.
Not
you
work.
Can pitch anything in America.
I think so.
You can pitch anything.
Let's work on that.
So, yeah, speaking of pitch, I don't know how we transition back out of
that.
No, I tell you, we'll get back on track. We're going to have these little side moments because we love to banter. Like I said, I'm the other half of the Statler and Waldorf duo. You decide which one I am.
By the way, speaking of Wikipedia a little bit ago, we have some listeners that are going to have to actually look that up.
Yes, they're going to look up Ellie Mae Clampett, Statler and Waldorf. They'll look up probably Red Dawn again because some of them, and Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, by the way, it's the Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Red Dawn, not the...
And probably Foghorn
Leghorn.
No,
not the new one.
I reference Foghorn Leghorn. I don't know that
everybody
now, knows Foghorn.
Speaking of roosters, we came from Rotary Club today, and we got to hear from our wonderful animal control in Barrow County. She was telling some stories that she gets to deal with, and I know the animal control goes through your case.
It does.
Your courtroom. Mm-hmm. So talk about your experience when dealing with animals. You know, it seems like there are several responsible pet owners in Barrow County, and I just want to hear a little bit about that.
Well, I think the key word that you just said was responsible. What I always tell folks that come in front of me that have received an animal control violation is if you're going to have an animal, you need to take care of it like a child. You need to be able to afford it. You need to be able to feed it, take it to the veterinarian. I'm like, you need to be responsible in it. And if you don't have 15 dogs, if you can't take care of them. So that's one of the things that sort of irritates me is when people have all these animals and then they talk about how they can't afford something. It's like, well, you don't have the animals if you can't afford them because they are a responsibility. They are. You should take care of them. That's why I don't have any animals, is because I don't have the money to put into them. I have money to put into my city bill that my city council keeps going up on.
Okay.
So that's where my money. That's where my money goes to.
It's just a reminder. What city power do you represent currently?
Wanda Jordan.
Okay, just curious.
Not Santa Claus, Georgia.
You know how cool it would be to be a mayor of Santa Claus.
I have a feeling you probably already are in a lot of people's minds. Probably already. But anyway.
I think someone just made a fat joke, and I see how it is.
I take that thing. People in glasses at houses cannot throw stones. I'm not going there. I can assure you that.
Are you going to be our moderator to get us back on track? Because I feel like we keep going off.
I'm moderating just fine. Thank you. I'm just letting the river flow.
Just letting it flow. We need to call this podcast episode Spots. Because we're in these spotted areas right there. So you've been magistrate judge now almost 8 years. You'll be 8 years at the end of this year, and hopefully we'll start your ninth year as the chief magistrate of Barrow County. You know, we're usually fun and joking, but let's get into the weed a little bit here. And let me ask you, you know, what was your hardest moment? Not only as an elected official, but as the administrator of your office, you have so many decisions that you have to make on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis when you're dealing with not only your office, but the people that come into the courtroom, and you're dealing with so many people's lives and their way of life and things like that. What has been your hardest moment in the job?
Well, I guess there's probably a couple of tiers to that question that I'll answer. One of the hardest things about being from and although Barrow County has about 90,000 people at this point,
we're still
a small community. I know a lot of people. We know a lot of people. We go to the grocery store here and we go to ball games.
Related to a lot of people.
We're related
too,
to a lot of people.
Way.
We are. I'm related to a lot of people.
It makes it hard for
jail.
Dating in Barrow County.
So this is the interesting thing, talking to these wonderful people across from me. But grandmother is somehow more popular than you two.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Ann Power taught half of Barrow County.
She did.
for a
10-minute Ingalls trip turns into 45 minutes. Yeah, I refuse to go to the grocery store in Bexar County.
It's the most fascinating thing to, you know, Powers, somewhat. Yeah, he's new. He's the shiny new toy.
Thank
you. Winder. So most people come up to him and talk to him. And then there's the judge. And it's like, oh, it's so good. Good to see you. Most of the time.
Can I be shiny, too?
You're bright and shiny.
I'll be shiny. Okay.
Yeah, you're bright
and
shiny,
you.
Too.
Appreciate
but
you.
When you're with grandmother,
he's a little buff. He's a little buff.
It's a little, it's just a different level of.
It is.
Hey, she taught me when I was in fourth grade.
Yes.
Forever.
To my
ago.
Knowledge, nobody has been to any other school except for Holcimbeck Elementary.
It really feels like that.
Holcimbeck
was the only elementary school.
Yeah.
From 1970s when she started Holcimbeck to when she retired in 2009.
Right.
Every other elementary school
did not exist.
This has
not
even
existed.
The one that I went to in county shout out to County Line Elementary School, go
it's
Critters.
Amazing. But with that being said, knowing so many people, it's hard to get into the courtroom and not know somebody. And I have to be very careful. I can't hear cases where I know people, or a lot of times it's very easy because I'm accessible. I try to be out in the community doing things. People are very easily want to pick up the phone or send a message or call or see me in the grocery store and stop me and tell me about something that's happening. And next thing I know, I have rolled up into their case and they're in my courtroom. That's one of the hardest parts, is to have to stop people. Like, I need you to not tell me what's going on. I potentially hear this case. And so I have to sort of weigh every day before I go into the courtroom. All right, do I know these people? If I do, is it on a personal level where it looks like that I'm going to be one-sided? Do I know this situation because they just happened to have mentioned it in a text message or told me about it and didn't really realize it when they were talking about it? So do I know something about this case that would cause me to have to recuse myself from it? So that's been hard, because you want people to know that you care and you want to treat them fairly. But on the other side of it, I have a job and I'm a judge, and you can't just tell me about stuff. That's one problem. Probably the hardest parts of my job is the moral versus legal issue. And I think I've shared this with Power before. You know, there's a lot of times that I see something that's morally, it's hard. You've got a woman that's a single mother in an eviction hearing, and she's got cancer, and she's got three kids sitting there with her, and she's getting thrown out of her home because she hasn't paid her rent. That's hard. That's very hard. Been there, done that. It's very, very difficult. But on the other end of it, the landlord has the right to their money. You can't live somewhere for free. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to. No matter what my circumstances are, I still have to pay my mortgage. So legally, I have to look at, did they or did they not pay their rent? It's not based on their circumstances, and that's hard. It's very hard to look at somebody that's going through struggles and have to tell them you got to be out of your house in 7 days.
So in our first episode, one of the things that we talked about quite a bit is we need good people running for public office, judgeships, city, county, whatever that position is. The one thing that we also talked about is compassion, trying to help people, kind of helping people see through difficult situations. And that's what I hear when you're just describing the situation, because you still have to judge between right and wrong. And like you said, the moral aspect, that doesn't sound like somebody's coming after you. It's like, no, this is compassion.
Yes.
Sometimes somebody needs to have a grown-up in the room to have grown-up conversations.
Yes.
Because sometimes that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Sometimes in my job, in the small claims area, a lot of people just want to be heard. You know, it's not necessarily that they think they're right or they're wrong. They just want somebody to listen to them. And so a lot of times, you know, when you, and no offense to any of my attorney friends, God help them, and I'm so glad that they're there a lot of times. But when you break it, you break away the layers and you get down to just, you know, two people in a courtroom, there are no attorneys involved. Sometimes you just let people talk. Sometimes they can talk through it and agree on things and consent to things. Sometimes they can just talk, and then they'll talk themselves into, I know that I didn't pay my rent, or I know I owe this money, and I realize you have to do what you have to do. I just needed to tell my story. I think we're all a little bit like that. Like, we all just want somebody to listen to us and us just be able to be heard, and that somebody acknowledges what they're going through, acknowledges what their struggles are. Once you do that, then they understand when I rule the way I do, and I usually try to give an explanation when I rule, like, I heard you. Just this morning I had a case and I've listened to the plaintiff and I heard you. I hear what you're saying. You didn't prove your case and I can't rule on your behalf, but I heard what you said. I understand. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you trying to get what you think is fair. And although I can't give it to you, I hope you think you've been treated fairly. It is all about the way you treat people. And just listening to them.
Speaking of listening, and we have a few minutes left, and I'd be a terrible host if I didn't bring up a couple things. You are a eloquent storyteller. I've heard many of your stories, and it has to do with your family, and it has to do with Eagle One Power Evans over here.
Be careful
UGA grad.
Some of these stories.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask the judge to share one or two, at least a story.
We don't mean to.
That's mostly PG.
No, don't
tell the real bad ones.
Okay.
I feel as though that we have come to the end of our time.
I think we still have some more time.
I
feel like the judge is overruling you.
Absolutely.
And from the executive producer, he doesn't mind going a little bit long on this
yes.
one.
Yes. So the first thing that comes to my mind is when Power was little, and of course I've been single since he was three, and so my grandparents kept him for me while I was working, and they lived out in the country. So Power was potty trained outside.
Oh, God,
outside.
No, not this, no.
He was, you don't even know what I'm about to say.
I know exactly.
No, you don't. You really don't.
Yes, I do.
I'm listening. So Power was potty trained outside. Oh, you know, it's all about, you know, aiming and hitting a bush. That's what you need to do. And so
high systems over here.
Very
high
much so.
Systems.
He's been through a lot. Anyway, so we
just want everybody to know I'm silently suffering.
We fast forward and it's time for Power to go to elementary school. Goes to County Line Elementary. And the first time they only called me like three times from County Line. And the first time that they called me, they said that Power was TTing on the playground. And I said, is the playground facing the woods? And they said, as a matter of fact, it is. And I said, well, that's y'all's fault because the boy was potty trained in the woods and you put your playground next to the trees. And so there's that. So time trucked on and we're still at County Line. And the next time they call me, Power,
you don't
know. We
don't need to have elementary school
stories. We're still in elementary school. So,
good Lord.
Power had been out with RSV.
My Lord.
What's RSV?
RSV is like a when they get congested, it's a upper
respiratory
infection,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. RSV. And so he had been out of school for a couple of days with RSV. He had to go get a shot. It was, you know, very traumatizing for the boy. And so he goes back to school. Mm-mm. And the teacher calls me and she said, I just want you to know that Power today told everybody that he had been out and he had to get a shot because he had an STD. So he told everybody he had an STD and
so,
got a shot.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hang on.
Yes.
So this
he
was elementary?
Elementary
I feel
school.
Like some of these stories are a bit stretched.
They're not stretched.
And I don't think they've happened
ask
that way.
Somebody.
Hey,
ask.
You know, the high moral judge over here, I believe everything she just said.
Yes.
I'm going to file a judicial qualification.
I think you
complaint.
Should. Why don't you do that? And then when you get home, all your stuff's going to be out on the front lawn. Let's see how that works out for you, too. How about that?
Wow.
Anyway, there's my STD / RSV story.
You have to file a dispossession.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
See, the fact that they're going back and forth with each other, and I have no idea the terms they're using.
Yes.
You're going to have, that's a whole nother episode of what you just said. I have no idea. I've got crayons over here and I'm like listening to what you guys are talking about. I was like, what?
He thinks because he uses big words that he doesn't have to abide by the law. Yeah.
That is false.
Yes.
That's false
every
advertising.
Time,
false information, false advertising.
When he goes up on my services with the city of Winder, I told him, I was like, you're gonna pay the city bill from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. I think that works out just fine.
Well, this has been a great time.
Is it really over?
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
It's been stressful.
Yeah. Hey, just want to give a shout out to Dickerson in Kansas and my brother up in South Carolina. Thank you for all the support. And thank you for visiting us here at the Southern Holler. We thank you for your time and energy and efforts. We thank to the Empower Center at Northeast Georgia Business Radio, a series for Southern Holler. come back and visit us.